This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander in San Francisco, Calais Badalon, chilling in Las Vegas at the Circa Studios, or I should say the VSiN Studios at Circa Resort Casino. Boy, LeBron ate into our NFC West preview. That was rude.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I didn't have that much more on the NFC West anyways. Three really good teams, one not great team.
Guess what people want to talk about? We get tweets beating the book. Spence at Spence CC. Does LeBron really move the needle? Will he put any team over the top? I say no. So if he had asked me, I would have advised Cleveland. Feel good story. Could have tied up his career nicely. And they're good. He didn't call me, though. Should point that out. Darren Frazier, LeBron who? Only a true narcissist ruins the middle of my baseball season on a day when both Tarek Skubal and Cam Schlittler are pitching. Enough already. Let's get back to baseball. Beautiful weather in the city and Gilly's vacation. Enjoy, Gilly. Thank you, Darren. Appreciate it. Chance Copperpot. I don't know what all this LeBron stuff is. Just keep on talking about the Seahawks, please.
This is so hashtag great. GoHawks. This is so great. Isn't this great, Gil? This is how sports media works, right? Like everybody's getting you. I hope if you listen to this show regularly, you realize that we read like every tweet that comes in. So when there's 90 tweets talking about how much you hate LeBron, this is how LeBron becomes a conversation.
And in the interest of reading every tweet, Super Jerk says to me, I'll let you know when I've reached my quota. Super Jerk. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Shoemaker. I don't know if he has thoughts on LeBron, but he certainly has thoughts on college football and the WNBA. You can follow him on Twitter at @TShoeIndex, which is really what his rating system is named colloquially as well. It's Tyler Shoemaker, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Tyler?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be back.
Well, you're wearing your, is this the Lakers yellow or is this the Monday Night Football yellow blazer, or is this the Hall of Fame jacket?
This is not the Hall of Fame jacket. Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, WNBA All-Stars in Chicago this weekend, I guess this is kind of a Chicago Sky colorway a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Does LeBron to the Sixers move the needle for a guy who's like super focused on certain sports? Does that make you interested at all or no?
I'm interested. And, you know, frankly, I saw the graphic of him in the black Sixers jersey, and I think that jersey looks sweet. So, you know, I'm interested. I don't have a ton of thoughts on it, but I'm interested.
Okay. Speaking of the WNBA, then, as you said, they're on all-star break. This league, just step back from your bets for a second, because we'll get to your thoughts on the futures here, on the futures market. But this league just keeps getting better and better as a viewing vehicle, as a betting vehicle. Is that correct? Todd Wishnev was talking about this the other day on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the product's only going to continue to get better. You know, there's more eyeballs on it, which then creates, you know, the demand for the product to get better. Now that, you know, under the new CBA, they're making so much more money. Now that's going to inspire a whole new generation of young girls to work on their game and get better. And I think it's going to continue to expand. And like you said, you know, the watchability standpoint, I think, is better than it has been and is going to continue to get better.
All right. Let's look at the futures market, where it's I would imagine this is a more teams possibly winning than in past years. But I don't know. Maybe the aces are just laying low. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the odds board this morning, Fever plus 500 to make the finals kind of jumped out to me. They're tied for first in the East right now with the Dream. They're actually ahead of the Dream in my power ratings, but the Dream are priced at about plus 415. So I'm not sure why the Fever are plus 500. So to me, that jumped out as maybe a value bet there on Caitlin Clark and the Fever.
Fever to make the title game at 5-1, you prefer over the Fever to win it all at 18-1.
Yeah. Just based on where the market pricing is, I felt like that jumped off as a better value play.
Is there a value play you like to win at all?
So I did look at the Liberty plus 750 to win it all. Circa sitting at plus 265, but the recreational books are all way, way longer odds than that. So I saw Liberty plus 750 out there. I would nibble on that. I mean, they were the preseason number one, clearly, in the power ratings. They've not been very good here the last three, 4 weeks. But part of that is injuries as well. Satu Sabli has been in and out. Marin Johannes has been out. So I think at full strength, they're as good as anybody. So I think that's worth a shot. And then the Aces at plus 400, they've also been relatively unimpressive lately. They just lost to the Mystics the other night. But again, circa plus 265 on that, but some of the rec books are at plus 400. So I think the Aces at plus 400 is a good price.
Yeah. It's, you do wonder about the Aces, cause obviously they had they're very middling before they went on an amazing tear last year that catapulted them all the way to the title. Eventually, last thing on this, because we want to get some college football, but Caitlin Clark, she has the big 45-10 game. She's still got the highest five most highest rated games in terms of television viewing ratings this year involve Caitlin Clark. Is she still the straw that stirs the drink in the WNBA, or is there some ding to that? In other words, are we drifting a little away from the it's all about Caitlin Clark theme that seemed to exist more last year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she's now in her third year. I think the first 2 years were much more about her specifically than anyone else. But I mean, as we talked about, you know, you've got like Olivia Miles in the league, Paige Beckers is in the league. You got a lot of exciting young players that are, you know, as good or better than her. So, you know, I think she still deserves credit for kind of being the pioneer or this generation's Michael Jordan as far as getting the eyeballs on the sport to begin with. But now you're starting to see, you know, from a talent standpoint, there are a lot of other girls in the league that can play.
Yeah, it is super enjoyable to watch. Let's have some college football season win total bets. For whatever reason, it's been sort of an SEC themed show today and will continue to be so as we move forward. You have a thought, not at the top of the SEC, but you have a thought towards the bottom on Arkansas. They're lined at 4.5.
Yeah, I do. This number's come down. I still like under 4.5 wins for them. My numbers project 4.3. So, you know, at a glance, that doesn't seem like a ton of value. But when I look at their schedule game by game, kind of in a vacuum, and look at the win probabilities, there's only two games that are what I call likely wins, which means they have a win probability of 60% or higher. So, okay, so there's two wins. So let's say they take care of business in those. They have 10 likely losses, which is a win probability of 40% or lower. So that means they've got to way overachieve and win three games that they're, you know, a touchdown plus underdog in. I think they're on average about a 7.5-point underdog against FBS competition this year. And my numbers give that about a 56% chance to stay under the number.
Yeah, I'm looking at the SEC conference odds where, again, Texas and Georgia, of course, are the favorites, the co-short shots, if you will, at the very bottom there. Kentucky 150-1, and then Mississippi State and Arkansas both 200-1. Tyler going under on the dogs there, on the hogs there, under 4.5. Colorado, we are 2 years removed. 2 years removed from all the hype of Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, and all the hype that was with the Buffaloes a couple years ago. Obviously, those guys have themselves a pro season under their belts now. But Deion Sanders still there as head coach of the Buffaloes. You are also going under on them at 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, Deion's saying all the right things this offseason. You know, I know his health has been a problem in the past. He says he's feeling great. So, you know, that's encouraging if you're a Colorado fan. But from the numbers that I have to operate with here in the preseason from a power rating standpoint and what their schedule looks like, I again project 4.3 wins here with only one likely win, 8 likely losses, and 3 coin flips. So even if they win the game they're supposed to and happen to win all 3 coin flips, that still only puts them at 4 wins. So they're going to have to way overachieve to go over that 4.5. My numbers give that about a 56% chance to stay under as well.
You surprised Coach Sanders is still there?
No, for a program like Colorado, I don't think they can be too picky about wins and losses. I think he moves the needle from a interest standpoint. And I think if you're Colorado, that's really all you can ask for. He's made them relevant, at least in terms of the college football conversation. You know, they're not going to be in title contention by any means, obviously. But I think he makes them at least interesting. And if you're Colorado, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. I think a lot of people predicted he'd be gone by now. Maybe even right after his kid graduated. Yep. Let's go to the Sun Belt. We have a listener, Derek Gwynn, who is always tweeting us about Southern Miss. They're lined at 3.5. This is the Tyler Shoemaker, let's pick on bad team segment. Under on Southern Miss, I'm guessing?
Under on Southern Miss as well. And the funny thing is, I came on this show this time last year and gave the over on Southern Miss. I was really high on them last year when they brought in Charles Huff. But now he is, again, gone. They're going over another turnover with the coaching staff and the roster. Charles Huff's now at Memphis. I project 3.3 wins for Southern Miss. But again, when you look at it in a vacuum, only one likely win, 10 likely losses, and only one coin flip. So if they win the game they're supposed to and win their coin flip, that's still only two wins. So now you got to find two more wins, you know, with win probabilities below 40%. I just don't see it. My numbers give them a 58% chance to stay under this number.
All right. Under on Arkansas, 4.5 wins. Under on Colorado, 4.5 wins. Under on Southern Miss, 3.5 wins. Tyler, T-Shoe Index. You write extensively at vsin.com. Your Twitter handle is T-Shoe Index. Can folks access your ratings, or is this just something you incorporate in your articles?
So in years past, I've put out my ratings in my independent guides that I put out on my website at tshoeindex.com. I do still put out the projections that you can access, but I don't make my ratings public just because I've gone to a more matchup-based projection system, and it just creates a lot of questions when my actual ratings are out there. But I'm always happy if you tweet me at tshoeindex, always happy to give you my rating on a team or let you know where teams stand. I'm not trying to necessarily hide it. Just trying to prevent as much confusion as I can.
He's a man of the people. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Let's talk some more SEC football on the other side. It's a numbers game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Winners, Circle, Proxy, and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that'll put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Millions. Both winners will also receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by this Sunday, actually not this Sunday, next Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. Skill Alexander, for those who missed it earlier this hour, or actually towards the end of last hour, I should say, LeBron James made his announcement. He will go to the Philadelphia 76ers on a 2-year, $8 million contract. That might have been the most surprising thing of all in all of this. So 2 years, $8 million. LeBron calls his shot, not the Heat, not a reunion with the Cavs, not the Warriors, the Sixers, to join Tyrese Maxey, Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid and crew in the city of brotherly love. So that's the deal. And LeBron actually tweeted about this, Kelly?
Yeah, he did a series of tweets coming from LeBron. The first one, I won't read through all these, Gil, but I thought the first one did stand out. I thought I was done when the season ended. I wasn't ready to announce it, and I knew I needed some time to really decide, but I was pretty sure I played my last game. I was honest at that last press conference when I said I needed to look at myself and decide if I love this game. I still truly love this game, and I have more to give. He goes on from there at King James. You can go check out a few more tweets. I think the rest you would expect. Yeah, I'm excited to join Philadelphia, that kind of stuff, right? I don't, but like that was, I don't know that I thought we saw LeBron play his last game. And it really, I mean, that sounds like he was thinking pretty seriously about that. I don't know why he would not tell the truth there, right?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? All we know is that he's headed to the Sixers, and it's pretty darn interesting.
When we talk about him being like that fourth option or whatever now, and we're kind of laughing about that, right? Is that really something? Maybe that is connected a little bit, right? Maybe it is of the, hey, you know, we're going to talk about game management and all these things and load management with it with him. Maybe he did. Maybe wanted to go to a spot where he didn't have to do as much in the regular season.
Maybe. I'm with Chad Lasso on Twitter. Chad Lasso says, people are always so bitter about LeBron. Just enjoy it. LeBron, for that price, anywhere is a great fit. Totally. Can't wait to see how it plays out.
Yep.
I'm with you, Chad. I am indeed. This gentleman is, well, he wears a lot of hats. You know, not just one, not two, even three. He covers the Houston Rockets. He also does the Houston Astros pregame. The Houston Astros pregame show. Yes, that's correct. So Rockets in basketball, Astros in baseball, and he was at SEC Media Day. He's a Locked On SEC host. It's Chris Gordy who joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Gordy, G-O-R-D-Y. Chris, good morning. How you doing, man?
A little tired, guys, but all good. Good to be on with you guys. Yeah, that's crazy news with LeBron picking a team. Finally over.
Finally over. Yeah. Let's put your Rockets hat on first from a from your basketball brain perspective. Move the needle for you?
Yeah, I mean, at least from a Rockets perspective, it's nice. I'm always good with all the All-Stars going to the East. Get out of the West, make the West a little bit easier. As we know, the Rockets stumbled against the Lakers and lost to them in the first round last year. So, KD was awesome, but now you get Fred VanVleet back healthy, Steven Adams. So it seems like the Rockets only have to worry about the Thunder and the Spurs in the West, and that's saying a lot. They're still two pretty damn strong teams, but at least the Lakers, I think, take a big hit with LeBron and all those pieces officially gone. But the East gets more jumbled. And now the Knicks, you want to defend that title, man, that's a damn good Sixers team you're looking at now.
Chris, we're gonna come back to you here. Your audio is a little, I believe the technical term is janky.
Crackly.
So we're going to come back to you. Yeah, crackly,
yeah.
Poppy. So we're gonna ask Chris about the Astros and the trade deadline, and then he was just at SEC Media Day. Get his thoughts on the SEC. But I mean, I think that's the thing. By the way, it's people again. There's always going to be the crowd, and listen, I understand. I'm part of it too. Where it's like, okay, just make your decision, dude. Talking about LeBron, just make your decision already. So it's here. He finally did. We can all move on. But now that he has. This is, if I was to have ranked the most interesting places he could have landed for me, Kelly, this would be 1-2 with Miami, right? Like, I think Miami would have been fascinating. Huh. I agree with you that he probably could have contributed more in Miami than on this team. But just as far as like a true title run, because you're in the Eastern Conference, this is pretty legit to me. Like, again, as a third and fourth option, of course. This is super interesting. I didn't find Cleveland that interesting. I didn't think he'd make a difference there. I just never did. And I didn't think anywhere else. Like the Warriors goes without saying. Any Western Conference destination wasn't going to matter.
Well, I think which team could benefit the most, where could he have the most impact, different conversations, right? I think of what we're talking about right now. What do I find most interesting? Very subjective, right? I don't find Philadelphia or Cleveland all that interesting at all. I think Philadelphia, from all the kind of similar reasons that you're saying about Cleveland, it's just it's a jam team already full of talent. Like, where does he really come? I think that's why
it's so interesting to me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Reason. Okay. So for opposite reasons, then, like, I would have loved to have seen him playing all those minutes with Steph Curry or on the Minnesota Timberwolves with Ant Edwards and LaMelo.
I'm glad you brought up Minnesota.
Jokic, because, right? Like playing with Jokic and seeing those basketball minds play together would have been a lot of fun for me.
You're right. Minnesota would have been pretty darn interesting in the West. I don't know that it would have mattered ultimately, but that would have been interesting. Yeah.
I mean, how does he play with those two, with the two young guys, right? Ant LaMelo. I mean, I think there's an opportunity. He could have helped groom those guys into pretty special players.
Have the odds moved even more since when we first spoke about this?
Just pulled these all up, so I'm going to go book to book to book for you. How about this? Eastern Conference odds. Back at DraftKings, we are back to the Knicks being the favorite. So this has been bet back and forth. Plus 330 is New York right now. Philadelphia plus 350. Over at FanDuel, it is plus 330 for the Knicks. 76ers plus 390. Celtics 5-1. So they are kind of settling in as this number, the second shot on the board. Over at MGM, Knicks plus 350. Sixers 4-1. Celtics 5-1. Kalshi, 76ers are your favorite. Plus 295 over at Kalshi. Knicks plus 398. Celtics plus 455.
Do you read into anything that at Kalshi, they're the favorite? So let's talk about that for a second, just from a betting standpoint.
Yeah.
Does that indicate in any way, maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm generalizing here, but does it indicate in any way to you that the sophistication, let's put it, of those on Kalshi who tend to be more of the Robin Hood Wall Street guys, right? Mm-hmm. Their sports betting acumen tends to be less than that of the general sports book betting population.
Yeah, I think it's I think that's an interesting question. And is there a tell here or not from one book or not book, one place being off from the others? Because these sports books do seem, they seem to have settled for now, right? This is still quick. When did we get this news? 30, 45 minutes ago?
Yep.
Still quick, but like the sports books, at least the three I just read, at least 1, 2, 3 are now pretty solidly in order. And yeah, prediction markets, not so much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything to that, but I just found it interesting said it off the cuff.
I'm interested to see where this win total moves. They were 48.5 as of yesterday, Philadelphia. This was, you know, this is part of the reasons we went over to some of these NBA win total bets the other day. Part of the reason I went under on the Pistons was kind of had a feeling LeBron would end up somewhere in the East. And I don't know how much that will affect things, but, you know, makes things tougher for the Pistons. Definitely not easier. The other thing that means that is big in the NBA right now, Gil, with this news, is we've still been waiting on this kind of last wave of free agents to get settled. I think this is what needed to happen before we start seeing where the rest of these guys are going to go. What's going to happen with a Jalen Duren, a Peyton Watson, James Harden, Draymond Green, technically out there, Benedict Mathurin. We'll see where all these guys end up now.
He was holding the whole league up like Bryson DeChambeau was holding up the golf tournament the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, again, I've said this a million times on the show. Basketball's a fun, you know, all sports are sort of great puzzles to solve. Basketball is funny in the sense that, again, if you got Wilt out there, you know, with Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and Oscar Robertson, doesn't mean you're going 82-0, mm-hmm. right? Doesn't mean you're scoring 300 points a game. There's an optimal efficiency to five guys on a basketball court. If their season win total was 48.5, does LeBron James in that alchemy, right? In that very nuanced alchemy that is a basketball team, five guys on a court, how many games does he really add to that team? Is it a couple? Is it less than that? Is it more than that? I don't know, right? To me, my instinct is it's a couple.
Yeah, me too. No, me too. That mine as well. I think it's a great question, though, because we know how this works. I mean, the someone with a name that big, right, making a move to Philadelphia, like, is there a wave of early overs that come in here through this weekend? Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that. So me and you might just be low just because of how much it's going to get bet. But yeah, I think it's probably a couple.
Oh, I'm not predicting where it's going. I'm just saying, what does it probably mean in the end? Yeah. That load management point is an interesting one, too. Maybe it is the team that sort of fills that as well. Like, I'll just be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, we'll come back. Wyatt Tomchek, Brickyard 400, wrestling. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and the smart money is already moving lines. Lock in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. You'll get instant access to the VSiN NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, and player props. Plus, we're including the new Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings to help you prep for your fantasy draft. Sign them now. You get full VSiN Pro access across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Kelly Bidlin back there in Las Vegas at Circa. Kelly, we have a tweet from Number Juan Degen.
Okay.
Juan, J-U-A-N, number Juan Degen. He says, what's this? No Fezzik on a Friday? Yes, programming note, no Fezzik today because he's taking his son to colleges, I think, here in the Bay somewhere, visiting. He'll be back next week, though, yes, with you?
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Dustin and myself will be here. We've got Matt Brown Monday through Thursday filling in for you, and then Dustin Friday in the next week.
Steve the Proxy says, when do we get the Bronny decision presser? Which is also a question we haven't tackled yet since LeBron James made his announcement that he's going to play with the Philadelphia 76ers. Where will Bronny go? It's a joke, by the way. Okay, we do have Wyatt Tomchek in the on deck in the dugout, ready to talk wrestling with us. And, of course, some Brickyard 400. But we got the audio squared away here, and we're thrilled to have back on the show once again. Part two, Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC host, Astros pregame host as well. Chris, glad to have you back, man.
Yeah, glad we get that figured out. I was joking. I think I said something poor about Lane Kiffin yesterday, and I think he got in there and messed up my audio. So good to be back.
Hold the Lane Kiffin thought. I want to get put your Astros hat on. I want to ask one baseball question. You are the Astros pregame host on Sports Talk 790 AM. The Astros right now, as of this moment, 3.5 out of the final playoff position in the American League. We are also 10 days out from the trade deadline. What will they do, Chris? Do we know 10 days out what they will do?
Yeah, they're going to make a move or two. They have to. You know, the interesting part is they come out of the All-Star break, they get swept by the Orioles, and all the fans are going, oh, blow it up. Let's just sell all our pieces. And then they come back and sweep the Marlins, and now they're like, we're playoff bound. Let's go. We're only two games back of the Rangers for the AL West lead. So that's the crazy part is nobody's run away with this division. It has benefited them that they've been in this crappy division all year with the Rangers, the Mariners, you know, the A's. Nobody's really wanted to claim this thing. And so they feel like they can still, you know, compete and lock up this division, make the playoffs. And look, the other part of this too, guys, is Joe Espada is a lame duck manager. He's on the last year of his deal. Dana Brown is a lame duck GM. He's on the last year of his deal. They have to make a move to save their jobs. They have to make the playoffs if they want to stay with the Astros. So expect Dana Brown. I think they're going to add a starting arm and another bat. And JJ Bleday is a name that's popped up. So we'll see what they do. But I think they have to make a move. And I think they'll add a pitcher and a batter.
So there it is. Astros, buyers here. And you said it, not only 3.5 out of the wild card, but two games out of the division lead with, of course, the Mariners in between both the Rangers and the Astros. All right, you're just coming off SEC Media Day, Chris. This is, you alluded to Lane Kiffin. So let's just start there. I'll sort of lead you into it. Anything newsworthy happened yesterday at SEC Media Day that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, just to give everybody the tone of what it is, you said SEC Media Day. It's SEC Media Days. This thing drags out four days now when you got 16 teams spread out across an entire week. And they did a fantastic job. Tampa was a great host city. It really, you know, it's not an SEC town, but it was nice being right there on the water. But yeah, everybody was looking forward to the last day. They knew what they were doing. They saved Steve Sarkisian in Texas and LSU and Lane Kiffin for the last day. And Lane's a lightning rod, man. Everywhere he goes, he draws attention. And, you know, he knew what he was doing. 30 minutes in the room, he spent about three quarters of that filibustering and avoiding answering questions. He only got asked four questions in the big room. I get it. He's facing the fire right now. He is the villain of college football.
How do you view the SEC? We were talking earlier off air because you're an LSU grad, I believe you said. Yes, LSU grad. Yeah. And so I was, you know, I was mentioning to you that what I was talking about earlier on the show a couple times actually was, okay, we're going to 9 conference games. There's going to be, you know, Bill Connolly, who does SP Plus over at the analytics over at ESPN, says he thinks that SEC teams will top out, the most he has in his simulations, like 9.8 wins. Whether that happens or not, let's say Georgia exceeds that, who knows if anyone else does. But you thought, probably a 9-3 team on LSU first thing off the top of the dome. I think you're probably right. So we're going to get into this situation where the committee at the end of the year, just projecting forward, they're going to have to make a bunch of decisions on a bunch of SEC teams that are going to have dings, if you will, losses based on the fact that the SEC is just so darn competitive. Do you believe the committee will value that strength of schedule ultimately or no?
Well, they said last year they were gonna factor it in more, and yet they didn't. You know, Texas obviously went 9-3, but Texas also had a bunch of top 25 wins. And then you look at a team like Indiana, who I think played what, one or two ranked teams all year and went 1-1. So, they were undefeated last year. Year prior, they played one ranked team and lost that one game to Ohio State, and they got in because it was 11-1. And I just think that we've become so obsessed with the 12-0, 11-1, 10-2. Like, anything worse than 10-2, you can't get in the playoff. And I go, well, wait a minute. Like, we don't do this in college basketball. We get together in a room and we talk about quad one wins, quad two wins, quad three wins. Oh, you lost to Duke in November, but that was a good loss. You know what I mean? Like, we do that in basketball. Why do we not use the critical thinking in football? We just go, nope, you're 9-3, you're out, you lost three games. It's like, well, it's stop so harping true. On the losses. Let's talk about wins. Who have you beaten? And if you got four great resume wins, and this other team over here in the Big Ten that didn't play Ohio State or didn't play Michigan or didn't play Oregon, like, why are we elevating that team? So I think we need to talk about it. Not all schedules are created equal. I always say that. And, man, we really need to use some critical thinking and look at who have you beaten. And good wins should outweigh, you know, a loss, in my opinion.
The other thing, of course, over the last few years with the SEC is – even with getting into the 16, so 13 national titles from the SEC between the years 2006 and 2022. Now three Big Ten teams have won the titles in the last 3 years. In fact, if you, the 2 years of the 12 team college football playoffs, only two of the eight semifinal spots, Chris, for SEC teams. So obviously, while that's an issue, so it's one of these leagues, right? It's like the floor is really high. I know by SP Plus, worst team has a better rating than the worst seven Big Ten schools. But the problem is the best team, not as good as the three Big Ten schools. Who wins this ultimately? Is it Georgia? Is it Texas? Is it somebody else that we don't see coming?
Yeah, I think those are your two best bets, Georgia and Texas. In fact, the media poll just came out. The SEC media voted on it. They've got Georgia winning the SEC with Texas getting the second most first place votes. So that's kind of what the SEC media thinks. I think Ole Miss is an interesting one to watch. Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy were awesome last year. Yes, they lose Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss as play callers, but you know, if Pete Golden can step his game up and do like he did in the postseason last year as the new head coach, I think Ole Miss has a chance. And watch Oklahoma, guys. Talking with John Mateer this offseason, he's improved his throwing motion. That thumb is completely healed. He's got a quicker, more compact release. If Oklahoma's offense could catch up to their defense, it's a brutal schedule. Don't get me wrong. But Oklahoma is kind of the dark horse team to keep an eye on this year.
Talking to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he is the host there. I'll ask what Kelly asked earlier, which is, where are you on Arch? After all this right now, heading into this season, which really is, you know, you want to say it's like the referendum season. But as I pointed out earlier, he was the best quarterback in college football in terms of QBR from November on last year. He does have this weakness, terrible inaccuracy throwing on the run. But you know how NFL teams are with quarterbacks. So he's going to be a high draft pick, barring a disaster. Where are you on this guy?
Well, I have caught Archmania. I'm all aboard the hype train. And look, I was at the Kentucky game last year. He was throwing lame ducks at people's feet. And like, I don't know what he was doing in some of those games last year, but he got better as the year went along. He looked great in the game against A&M, got the big win, looked great in the bowl game. The Cheez-It Bowl beat Michigan. So you go out and get Cam Coleman, one of the best offensive weapons out there. They redid that entire backfield. The run game was not great for Texas. They go get Relique Brown and Hollywood Smothers. Offensive line has improved. Trevor Goosby will be a top 10 pick next year. I like all the changes they made. Will Muschamp now is a defensive coordinator. You know he's going to bring it with the blitzing and all that. So I'm a buyer into Texas, man. It's a tough, tough schedule. You get Ohio State week two at home. But I love Arch, man. I think he is the real deal. And I think we're going to see a much improved Arch Manning out of the gates this year and a Heisman Trophy contender throughout the year.
You're good on Muschamp. I asked Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, this earlier, because Will Muschamp, as a head coach or coordinator, has not put together a top 10 defense for like over a decade. You're okay with him, though, as the defensive coordinator.
He's got dudes, man. Colin Simmons as the edge rusher. They go get Rasheem Biles, a tackling machine from Pitt. Secondary's awesome. They just got John Meredith to reclassify to this season. They're loaded, man. Will Muschamp is going to bring it this year. 5 years from now, he may not be there. But this year, I think you're getting a really good Muschamp.
Chris, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, fellas.
Chris Gordy, everybody. Wyatt Tomchek, wrestling, NASCAR next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from San Francisco and Las Vegas, Gil Alexander in the Bay. Kelly Bidlin back at our studios there at Circa Resort Casino. Before we get to Wyatt Tomczyk, our buddy, we have a 59 at the 3M Open, Kelly.
We do. 59 on the PGA Tour. Michael Kim is your leader now. Just finished up his round. 59. He is 14 under for the tournament. 12 wow. under Did- on his round today. Whew.
Did we have a 58 earlier this year?
Oh, gosh. Did we? I don't think so.
Was it? Did Jim Furyk? What am I? I don't know. Yeah, Jim Furyk shot a 58 at the Travelers. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Not this year. Not this year. I misspoke. 10 years ago, precisely at the Travelers, Jim Furyk shot a 58. I think that's the lowest I ever remember. And that might be, yeah, that is actually, I'm being told, yeah, tied for the record.
There's not many in the 50s club, that's for sure. There's
Bryson DeChambeau Bryson DeChambeau had a 58, but that was on the Live Tour a few years ago.
Yeah, he goes, it's a par 71 out there at TPC Twin Cities. So 12 under 59 for Michael Kim today. Woo!
One shot from the PGA Tour all-time low round record. Wow.
What is this? Real quick, they're actually showing it on Golf Channel right now. Sub 60 rounds since 2017. Looks like that is 11, I'm counting. Furyk, Michael Kim, Jake Knapp, Hayden Springer, Cameron Young, Scottie Scheffler, Kevin Chappell, Brant Snedeker, Adam Hadwin, and Justin Thomas.
Man, okay. Real quick, Red Sox, 80-1 to win the month of July. Just throw it up on the board. Three game set with the Blue Jays at Fenway tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. Then four games at Sacktown against the July worst Athletics, finishing with one game against the Dodgers. 5-3. If you go 5-3, you don't even have to look at the scoreboard. You win it. Let's go, Red Sox.
Let's go, what do you got, man. Kelly? Let's go. All right, bets that I've made throughout the week here, some NBA win totals and then one NFL bet. Bears over 415.5 points scored. We talked about this one yesterday. And then earlier in the week, some NBA win total bets for me as these are coming out. Jazz over 35.5, Rockets over 47.5, and Pistons under 50.5. Going to be interested to see how these Eastern Conference ones get reshuffled as LeBron James joins the Philadelphia 76ers.
LeBron James to the Sixers. Congratulations to everybody who had him going to the Sixers in prediction markets. Jensen Lewis earlier on the show, Yankees Phillies under 8 today. Cubs Pirates under 8.5. Those are the two bets he likes the most. Phillies -1. +109, Brewers -1.5 on the run line, -117 in that game against the Rockies, where he also, I believe he has a total in that game as well. The Rockies Brewers, we doubled up the bet here on the screen, but he's also on the run line. In addition to being on the Brewers run line in that game, he's also on the Tigers in the run line against the Royals today as well. Also heard from Chris Felica, the Bear. The Bing Crosby Del Mar race number 10 tomorrow. He is on the number 5 horse, Cornucopian, at 3-1. Cornucopian, the play again, Del Mar tomorrow. And then his college football plays, Texas Tech -1.5 games versus Texas at that price right there on your screen, -140. Georgia -0.5 win, +130 versus Ohio State. Oregon -4.5 games at +125 versus Nebraska. And then a win total, which we really didn't get to flesh out, USC under 8.5 wins this year for Lincoln Riley's crew. And then Tyler Shoemaker, he's got three bullish college football
season wins. Love it.
Arkansas, 4.5, not low enough, under. Colorado, 4.5 wins, not low enough, under. And Southern Miss, 3.5 wins, not low enough, under. All three from Tyler Shoemaker. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the people's champion, one of our crowd favorites, always here to produce the show when needed, and certainly the man who makes sure the Megapod gets on each and every week. It's Wyatt Tomczyk, the voice of UNLV women's basketball, joining us in studio. What up, Wyatt?
Oh, man. My only day filling in for Danny, and LeBron James decides to sign with the Sixers, and it messed up my entering in picks for Jensen that it's Rockies Brewers over 8.5 -114.
So thank you, sir.
That was my fault, sir. That.
Fired. Okay. Not allowed back on Monday.
Done.
Yep.
That's it. It's the end of the segment.
Gil suspended. Wyatt fired. Yep. We're cleaning house here today on a numbers game.
That's it. We're never coming back. All right, Wyatt, a few things to talk to you about. One, just because we talked about SEC all morning, you do this SEC Survivor Pool. Are you doing that? Are you going to participate in that again this year?
Yep. Once that email comes out, I will be signing up, and I have a lot of fun with it. It's it's really interesting, obviously, now with the SEC expanding over the last couple of years, is that you have a couple weeks where you have to pick two teams. So, you know, trying to find, like, the teams like Arkansas. You see Tyler Shoemaker has a under on the win total of 4.5. You got to play those teams in non-conference. Find you know, the cookie-cutter matchup. So it's been a challenge. I've made it, I think the farthest I've made it is like week 9 or week 10, somewhere around there.
And what is it? It becomes two teams a week at some point?
So you have to, so there's, I think there was, what, 13 weeks, 13 or 14 weeks in the college football season, but there's 16 SEC teams. So there's a couple weeks where you have to double up.
What, got it.
How long have you been doing this, Wyatt? And how long do you go back with these guys?
I think it is, this will be my fourth year, and it's a buddy who knew somebody who knew somebody, and he just gave me the email. He's like, you want to join? I was like, heck yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to get Chris Felica and Gil Alexander. Nice. They want to join, so I'm excited. Kelly, the invitation's up for there for you.
Of course, I'm in. This is my favorite parts of the show today on the VSiN Plus subscription, so you guys didn't hear it on air. But the Chris Felica wanting to be a part of the SEC Survivor group, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sure they're going to love to have you.
$10 buy-in tool. That's right. All right, Wyatt, Brickyard 400. Denny Hamlin is the short shot at plus 350. Followed in the odds by Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, William Byron, everybody else double digits. Who you got?
Well, you know, I was able to do Gone Racing with our old friends, Jeff Motley. Brendan Gaughan couldn't be there yesterday. So I was kind of looking at this. You know, for me, I don't really bet a lot of guys to win. I'm more of a top five, top 10 group matchups, but there's two guys that really stand out to me. Bubba Wallace, who won the race last year, he needs a good result. He's kind of close on that playoff cutoff line. And I believe, you know, momentum is key in everything. And I'm going to go with Joey Logano at 16-1, who won last week at North Wilkesboro. He was great. And he had a good shot at winning last year, but cut a tire late in the race.
Watch this, Kelly. Joey Logano used to be Joe Gibbs Racing, but is no longer Joe Gibbs Racing?
Yes, left Joe Gibbs Racing back in 2012.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Gil. I kind of have a NASCAR betting question, too. Wyatt just referenced something that you and I reference all the time when we're talking golf and tennis. How much, like, recent form versus track history comes into play when you're handicapping NASCAR? Like, what's most important to you?
I like to look at recent results. Now, remember, this NASCAR, it's a new car. It's called the next gen car. At Indianapolis Motor Speedway, they didn't race on the oval for a handful of years. So 2024 was the first season they raced with that car. So I only look back the last two races.
Okay.
Sometimes you look back three or four, but usually that. And then the other thing I look at is, you know, practice. I look at speeds. Your five lap average speed, 10, 15, and kind of judge it from there.
So you might care recent form wise, you might care more about practice week of than how they've done the past couple races.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That was always when we had Jeff Colliandro on weekly for NASCAR, that was always his thing. The practice. Right before the day before.
Sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
We talking about practice actually mattered big time to him. Any group plays, Wyatt, or no?
Yeah, there was a couple of the group plays that I was really interested in. Group A, I like Kyle Larson at plus 300. Kyle, the last two races, he won in 2024, and then he finished second in 2025. He had a good car last week in North Wilkesboro. He got caught up in a pit road accident. But, you know, this is a prestigious race. It's one of the NASCAR crown jewels, and he usually rises up in big moments like that. So I like him, although it is tough. I will say Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, just a note for people, the Toyotas have been just legendary this season. So it'll be a tough battle for Larson, but I like that number. And another one I liked was Brad Keselowski in Group D at plus 350. Brad's another one of those drivers who needs a good finish to try to get himself into the playoffs. He finished top 10 here last year. I like him in that group. The other driver that concerns me in that group is Carson Hocevar in Group D. He has a lot of good speed, but it's very hit or miss for him. Either he's going to finish top five or he's going to get caught up in a wreck.
All right, Wyatt, take us home with wrestling. What do we need to know?
Well, WWE SummerSlam, that is the number two event. It'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a two-day event.
SummerSlam!
Saturday and Sunday. We don't know. So I don't know who's on each day. They haven't announced it yet, but there's some good matchups. You got a Hell in a Cell match, Oba Femi versus Brock Lesnar. You guys know who Brock Lesnar is.
Yeah, sure.
One I'm looking forward to: CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship. I don't know who's going to win that one. I think Obafemi's going to win the Hell in a Cell match. Between Punk and Rhodes, that's a toss-up for me. Another one I'm really looking forward to is Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. These guys got history, Kelly. A ton of history.
History.
It's all on the line at SummerSlam.
And you guys probably know Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio. Danhausen, my guy. You are cursed.
Who doesn't know that? See ya.